Send your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Hey, everybody. It's the Tiny Shutter Podcast. This is the show all about iPhone photography and other smartphone photography. Might as well include that in there. And yeah, I got to change some audios because of the...
keep saying that.
Yeah, I do. Well, I've been lazy. Hey, lots been going on here.
Yeah.
I'm Mark Sadowski. Joining me is the usual crew we got. Matt Hoffman. How's it going, Matt?
I am doing well.
And we have Joe Ferreira. How's it going, Joe?
I'm good.
And Keith Tharp is still on assignment. Do we say assignment? That sounds just so cheesy.
Sabbatical.
You know what? Sabbatical sounds cool. It's like he's off in India. Yeah. And he's iPhoning with the Dalai Lama, taking some...
He's out in the real world.
Yeah. There you go. So, there we go. So, yeah, lots been happening for those of you living under a stone. We've had quite the past few days in Boston, and it's kind of weird. Now, my day job is in the middle of the city. I am probably less than a mile from all the Boston Marathon crap that just went happen, that horrible bombing. And while I wasn't in the thick of things, I was in the thin of it, because basically I was the only thing I saw was just quote unquote aftermath stuff. I mean, like, that day was just inundated with like fire trucks, ambulances, police, everything, just sirens everywhere. My office is actually near the State House. Both Maud Byrne and I work in the same company, and Maud Byrne is one of our co-hosts on the Lenswipe show, and we just got slammed with like just this utter noise of not the explosions themselves. We didn't hear them, although Maud says he kind of heard something, but I'm deaf in one ear, so that was I heard nothing. But just sirens like you wouldn't believe. And then we were hit with like just loss of internet, loss of cell phone, just everything happening all at once. And it was just the hardest thing to find out what happened. And and then like afterwards, once we were able to get stuff, I actually, once we got through like 3G connection back, I was able to download the radio app for the iPhone and just listen to the AM news and just get a sense of what was going on.
It sounds like, I think what they were saying, they shut down cell service because they were afraid that the bombs were possibly going off by cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, just so much news was just pouring in, so much speculation. They cut the cell phone connections for just that. They feared detonating, remotely.
Yeah.
So around the time where it was almost time for Maud and I to leave work, we kind of left early, but we just joined the parade of people just leaving the city. I mean, and everybody was walking on foot. Nobody was daring to take any of the subways. And we were all avoiding garbage cans because that's at that time that's what people were, were saying went off, bombs in garbage cans. And around that time, there was a report that there was another bomb that just went off in the
JFK
library. So it was like we were just walking through just like this surreal area. I could only imagine of what the people experienced in the actual explosions. I was nervous walking down the street, but I mean, Jesus Christ, I I can't even think of it. And, you know, mm-hmm. our thoughts are with the victims. And, I really hope they catch this douchebag soon because, this guy messed with the wrong city. One more thing. As of today, this recording, today there was a lot of reports of, there was an arrest and they were going to take this guy to the federal courthouse. And from what I was hearing on the news, just so many people just lining up in front of that courthouse just to get a look at this guy. So like piss off Bostonians. it's just mind boggling. It's just been a crazy, crazy time. But to kind of tie this all into iPhone photography and smartphone photography, it's the law enforcement agencies have been scouring Instagram, Vine. They've been asking people for any footage, any kind of photography whatsoever that pertain to that moment. And it's kind of funny how – well, not funny. That's not the right word. It's amazing how in times like this, everybody becomes a photojournalist. No matter how insignificant you think that photo is, it could lend itself to something useful. In fact, I think what is it? There's footage of a suspicious person from a Lord and Taylor security camera. So, you know, just even the slightest capture can like start piecing things together. What do you guys think? I'm talking forever and I apologize. What do you guys think of all this? Like the call out to everybody to share their photos and videos.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, you know, it's interesting how the perspective on privacy changes when it's something like this. If it was for any other reason, if the federal government or the police or the FBI or whoever was asking for our videos and our photos, there would be, you know, a huge cry out against it and, you know, our privacy and our rights and all that stuff. But in this situation,
they're not actually forcing anybody. They're literally just asking.
No. I realize that.
Yeah.
But you know, in this situation, it's definitely the right thing to do. And I'll be surprised if, you know, I know that we're going to catch this person or people responsible for this. And I will be surprised if it's not some sort of cell phone image that leads to the arrest.
Yeah.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about this over the last couple of days. And, you know, I'm sure there were any number of people constantly at the finish line, probably videoing with their phones, you know, the runners coming across because they have friends or relatives or whatever in the race.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, I obviously have no idea when the bombs were placed there or anything like that. But if it was kind of, you know, at some point during the race, it would be very surprising if they are not caught on a cell phone camera.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. How about you, Joe?
I don't know, you know, like you said, you know, this has all been voluntary, you know, the authorities are asking people, but you know, how we hashtag things, they don't even have to, you know, go through our, you know, personal, Instagram feeds or whatever, you know, we hashtag and, you know, that anybody can go through a hashtag and find images of anything. So, I think it's, if they're able to catch this guy, then that's great. If they all of a sudden have to hack into our stuff, you know, cause we say, oh yeah, we got video, but I'm not showing or whatever, then, you know, it may take a different twist. The thing about
the way it's going in this city, you'd have a subpoena within like 5 minutes of that posting.
I believe it. But you know, it's interesting because we're increasingly in this world where almost every single square inch is either has a camera or a, you know, a video device. A lot of it's for security. You know, it's not a it's not a police state, but it's, you know, you can almost find any incident. You know, you look back at the meteor in Russia.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they had cameras to protect themselves from, you know, crooked cops or criminals or whatever. But they were at the same time were able to catch this amazing footage of an asteroid, you know, coming through. It almost looked like it's like something you'd see in the movies.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, we're ever increasing, you know, increasingly in this period of time where, you know, you can't get away from video. And I think of Britain, you know, they have their closed circuit television that they use as police state,
right,
where almost every single square inch of Britain is covered other than like the farmlands, you know. You know, where people are in the cities, you know, they catch them, you know, in the midst of a crime, they video them, and then they call the local constables are, bam, right there on them, caught them in the act,
yeah.
You know, and doing that. And I'd hate to have to live in a society that had to rely on closed circuit, you know, police state technology.
Right.
But having, you know, being able to crowdsource evidence from a crime, I think is, you know, is great if they're able to do it.
Yeah. I hope it does. I hope the crowdsourcing is sufficient, because that might keep the, you know, Big Brother from encroaching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just thought it was worth a mention with everybody relying on the smartphones and, you know, GoPros and, you know, any sort of photo or video. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I hope it's sufficient to catch that SOB, because, pissed off Red Sox fans, Bruins fans, and Patriots.
Yeah, Celtics.
Celtics, yeah. Our
Keith.
Keith, yeah. Oh, my God. Keith himself. I think – did you guys see the opening to the Colbert Report?
No.
No, I haven't watched that yet.
That was a funny monologue that he did, talking about, you know, you mess with New England. He's like, here – I'm going to totally butcher this, but – you know, here's a group of people that come from the Puritans. Guys came on the Mayflower. These are people so tough, they had to buckle their hats to their heads. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So anybody who take a listen to that, I thought that was pretty cool. And so, yeah, let's move on. Let's not stay with this. I hope the bastard is caught and we could all rejoice. So yes. Next on the news block here is a little bit about Android and what it was originally intended for. So, Joe, why don't you take that one?
Okay. I ran across this article, and it's titled, "Android was originally built for cameras rather than phones," founder said. I find it quite convenient that, let's see, what's his name? Andy Rubin. Stated that it was, you know, originally for cameras, you know, granted it could be true, but, it for me, I think he's playing on the fact that, he does have, Android on a couple of cameras, and it's starting to head that way where we'll have an operating system like a mini, computer with great optics and great sensors, and being able to get things out on the internet right away, being able to have social media, you know, something that we've always wanted. But, you know, I thought it was interesting.
I'm looking at his photo, and is it just me or is his eyes too far apart?
It looks Photoshopped.
Yeah, it does. they should
Oh, you mean the one below the green, the green Android.
I think that little Android character is based on Andy Rubin.
You know what? I see the resemblance.
Yeah, they put all a
they did,
they
took all they a, did they, was add antennas.
Yeah. For some reason, it looks like Andy Rubin has two left eyes.
You know what? It could be the glasses.
Sure.
I don't know.
Or the fact that it's two left eyes.
But no, I'm not against Android, you know, being in cameras or anything. But, you know, the fact that he's out now saying it was originally built for cameras, I find it quite odd considering. But
I wonder what the original Android looked like, because if I recall correctly, Android was looking very close to a BlackBerry. When I saw the original concept that Google was working on, they had the keyboard on it. They had the small screen. It looked very BlackBerry-esque until Apple came along with their device. And then, you know, Android suddenly looked rather different.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm calling BS on this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it says that Google acquired his company, Android, I guess, and, you know, made him as, you know, a senior vice president or what, a couple years before, you know, the iPhone and iOS came out. But, you know, I think BlackBerry was really... Well, this is my limited knowledge, but BlackBerry was really the hot topic on, you know, what to do. Because, I mean, I had a introductory level Palm, you know, and I think we were moving from just a dumb phone to having PDAs. Is that what they call it? PDAs?
I think so. We had the Trio, BlackBerry, and...
And they started to do stuff. They added cameras, you know, and stuff like that. And it started to move into the smartphone era. And, you know, I'm trying to think, what, 2005, we had, I think my camera, my 30D is from 2005 or 2006. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we had camera technology and digital, but nothing so much as having a touch screen or anything like that. So I find it quite odd. And, I almost think it's it's his way of trying to say, hey, look, we're ahead of the curve. Look, we have phones now with Android in them.
Yeah.
I find it a little odd. Good for them. But, you know, I thought it was interesting to bring up.
I don't think Google likes the fact that Android has become like synonymous with Samsung.
Yeah.
Like Samsung is kind of bearing the fact that they run Android now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's just all about them. And with Google Face, not Google Face. Yeah. She's Facebook with their, what is it? Home?
Yeah. Facebook Home.
Yeah. I mean, I bet Google's kicking themselves for not thinking of that. Google does some great innovative stuff, but it seems like a lot of other people beat them to the punch. Like Google Plus, they claim that they have X amount of users, but really, come on.
It was, you know, they made it interesting when you couldn't get into it, but once you got into it and you found that nobody was actually listening to you.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, yeah, I don't need it. I have.
You watch the next Google product is going to have a line similar to what Mailbox did.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
I still don't have Mailbox.
You're not missing anything. I didn't like it. I mean, it was okay if you had one account that didn't have a lot of emails in it. But like my Google Gmail box that I hooked it up to had like thousands of messages in there. And I was not going to go through all of that stuff.
Well, that's my dumpster. That's my one that if I don't want to give out my primary email address, I'll do the Gmail one. So I can go and delete that one and not even bat an eye.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think about the whole Samsung, the whole Google thing?
About what we were just talking about with Android?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really like reading into it, I guess, the way you guys are. To me, it was just kind of like,
what are you saying?
If I'm reading into what Matt is saying.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just read the article for what it was of just, hey, this is what our original intent was.
Right.
And I don't know. I just thought, well, I mean, that's cool. And if they're going to kind of get back into that mode of development and thinking and start making an operating system that is more oriented towards being on a camera, I mean, I'm excited about that. I'm ready for this OS type of thing and the possibility of apps and whatnot to move beyond a point and shoot.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So I don't know. I think it's cool and I'm pretty excited about it, whether it's Android, iOS or something new that hasn't popped out yet. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I hear that. And he has two left eyes. I'm telling you, man, look at that picture. Not a flattering picture.
Yeah.
Look, I could be wrong. He could have two right eyes. You know, who knows?
I think he needs to hire a photographer. the other thing that I saw today was a rumor about the iPhone 5S.
Yes, let's talk about that.
And they said the iPhone 5S will have a 12 megapixel sensor and better low light shooting. It's like, okay, that's fine. And then down in it says, and HDR photography. I'm like, seriously? That's See, it?
I read that differently, too. I just took it to mean as there's going to be an improvement in the HDR photography, not as in, hey, it's a new thing. Like, everybody knows HDR has been on the iPhone for forever.
Do they, though?
I don't use mine.
You don't?
I don't even use the native camera app, so I definitely don't use the HDR feature.
Yeah.
No, I use the native camera app more than anything, but I do have when I get into when I get past the passcode, I do have what's it called? Pure as my primary.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I'm in a rush and I just, you know, click the home and swipe it over to get to the camera. I'm using the native app all the time.
Well, what do you guys think about this rumor? Do you, I HDR aside, improved low light capabilities. I think that goes without saying. That's going to be a given. They're always trying to do that since everybody else has been blowing them out of the water with improved low light. But what do you guys think about the 12 megapixel sensor? Matt, let's start with you.
Well, I want to know how are they going to pack more pixels into this tiny sensor and improve the low light capabilities? Because yeah. to me that means less noise when you're shooting in a darker environment. That's what improved low light capability means to me. Right. And I don't know if that means not less noise, but just the ability for it to pump up the ISO and shoot a faster shutter speed so that you could get, you know, a sharper or, you know, reasonably sharper picture in lower light. But I don't know, when I think of improved low light capabilities, I think less noise. And less noise would be a huge benefit to me because probably 9 times out of 10 when I shoot with my iPhone, I shoot HDR, and the HDR apps really amplify the noise tremendously. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be pretty thrilled with less noise. I'm just not sure that that's what they mean.
Because
it doesn't add up unless, you know, I'm sure there's some sort of technology that I'm just not up to speed with. But I don't know. I think right now, just looking at the photos I'm shooting with just the iPhone 5, I'm pretty happy with 8 megapixels. I think for a phone, that's plenty.
Yeah, I agree. How about you, Matt? How about you, Joe?
No, I agree. I have the 4S, which is, that's 8 megapixels, right?
Yeah, that's also 8 megapixels, yep. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it works good. I mean, 12, I'm curious to, like you said, to know, you know, what type of quality is it going to be with. Now, they did say it's going to move from a 2.8 to a 2.4 aperture size, whatever that means, with that tiny camera. And you know, the, of course, you know, the larger the aperture, the more light that will come in. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I have to see it to believe it. And if it's true, then great.
And Joe, the 4S is actually the first iPhone to have the 2.4 aperture.
Oh. So we don't even know what type of an aperture they're going to have. Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
You think it'd go as far as 2?
I want to see a 1.4.
Dude, I don't even have a 1.4 lens.
That'd be great. I know. I'm kidding. and I'll, actually, with this rumor is also mentioning about fixing the purple fringing issue.
Right.
And that was something that I kind of thought was maybe just going to be a problem, like maybe for the first few iPhone 5s or something, and then they kind of figure it out and fix it. But they didn't, because, you know, I took my sweet time getting mine, and it's definitely noticeable, but really if you're shooting towards the sun.
Yeah, and it's only specific stuff.
Yeah, and then, I have that app Perfectly Clear, and that fixes the purple fringe problem very well.
Right.
So it hasn't really been an issue, but it is kind of annoying that I have to run the photos through an app just to get rid of purple fringing.
I guess they're going to have to just change the lens quality.
Yeah, I don't know if it's something to do with the sapphire lens or
that's what I was hearing.
So they should switch to a diamond lens.
There you go.
Or a cubit zirconium.
Imported right from zirconia itself.
You know, I just got to thinking about how odd it is for me to be saying about how I don't really want them to cram 12 megapixels onto this little sensor when, you know, with my other cameras, I basically went from a 10 megapixel DSLR to a 24 megapixel.
Wow.
Camera that has the same size sensor, so I'm not sure why I'm, you know, saying the image quality is probably going to suck with more megapixels, because that's certainly not the case with my other cameras.
Yeah, so I think that covers that. Why don't we move on to post pick of the week, and who has the pick for this week?
That would be me, fine sir.
Awesome.
Alrighty, so. Once again, difficult choice. When I was browsing through our feed, do you know that we have over 7,000 photos now with the Tiny Shutter hashtag?
Right? That's awesome.
That's amazing. 7,383 as of the time of this recording.
I got 84.
Damn it.
One just popped in.
Yes, it did. Awesome. Thank you for sharing all these pictures with us, guys. Definitely keep them rolling in. It is very fun to browse through them. So my pick today was actually tagged Tiny Shutter 4 hours ago, so it's a pretty fresh one.
Nice.
And this is a kind of a surreal, abstract kind of photo. If you're looking through the feed, it's a few rows down, And there's a black frame, and then I would say a majority of the picture is a brownish color, and then there's a white and rainbow colored cross looking thing in the middle.
I see it.
And basically what that is this photo was shot by a sixth grader, a 12-year-old boy. He was in his science class at school and put his iPhone lens up to a prism and shot this photo through a prism. And that's how he got that pretty cool effect. And I just think that's really sweet because I've never thought to shoot through a prism. And, you know, it's hard to discern what the subject is in the photo, but the prism made such a neat effect with the light that the light itself becomes the subject.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding.
And it's diffracted and separated into the colors of the rainbow. And it's just pretty wild. It's pretty cool. I think it's creative and I like it. So that is definitely the pick of the week.
This guy's in sixth grade?
Yes, sir. I mean, I don't know him personally to vouch for it, but that's what he says.
It looks like it was Carson Serwin, or
correct.
Since it's all put together, I don't know if it could be Carson's Irwin.
Well, whatever it is, I gotta stop swearing. Damn!
Very cool.
But yeah, it's an awesome shot. I totally agree. That is totally badass.
He used an app that has been one of our perennial favorites, the Slow Shutter app.
I don't use that enough. I gotta.
Well, it's just about waterfall time. So,
oh my god, I can't wait. Dude, I'm so doing that. That's going to be awesome. So, let's go into, I mean, that's an excellent pick. And I mean, well done, sir.
Good job, Matt.
Thanks. You did a great job picking that. Good job. And you're good at talking about pictures that you didn't take.
On an audio show. Awesome. So let's go into our picks for this week. I don't really have anything other than the app called Radio for CBS Radio, which came in really handy this week. So there we go.
All right. Well, that covers that. Thank you.
That's all that needs to be said.
I am going to download that immediately based off of radio.com. Your in-depth analysis and your very good recommendation. Joe, do you want to go next?
Sure, I'll go. I picked this app mainly because if you look at our post picks of the week on the Tiny Shutter podcast Instagram account, you'll see that I put, you know, the name, of course, Tiny Shutter, and then post pick of the week down on below. And I've been using this app called Photo Studio, and it allows you to edit photos and stuff like that. But main reason why I use it is because I can go in and add those, lack of a better word, tags onto the image and make it look somewhat cool. So I think $1.99. Yeah, it's $1.99, and it's done by Mac Fun LLC. So it's FX Photo Studio.
Oh yeah, I've checked this app out numerous times in the App Store, but just haven't really figured out if I really had a use for it. But it's been one where my finger has just about been on the install.
Yeah.
And haven't committed to it.
I've had it for a while. I use Snapseed all the time, that I don't use any other apps. But if there's something special, like I need to add text to an image, I've been using this, and it's worked great.
You know what? I've actually deleted Snapseed.
What? For real? Yeah,
for reals. I've been cleaning out my phone because for some reason I am like totally running out of room on my 16 gig phone.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
I have no idea what apps are doing this. I've really hunkered down on them, but I've...
You know what I do? I go through and I look to see which apps are, you know, have the most, and I'll delete them and then I'll put them back on again. Because it'll take it from like 200 megabytes down to 20.
Yeah.
They need to have in these apps a cache dump where because it's caching the images that you're looking at, so it doesn't have to reload them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, you know what? That's an excellent tip. Dude, yeah, that's going to be my tip for this week.
That is
what Joe's saying. So keep talking.
Yeah, I'll go through, and every once in a while, I'll look to see what's populating. You go into the menus, and let me just make sure I'm saying this right. Yeah, I go into the settings, and then I go to general. I go to usage, and what it does is it shows you how much you have available and how much you've used. And then it'll populate from which is using the most down to the very least. And a lot of times Facebook, Instagram, Chrome, right now Chrome is taking up 340 megabytes. You know, these I can go through, and if I click on Chrome, it's the regular size app is 34 megabytes. So it's 10 times the size of its regular app. I can delete it and free up, you know, over 200 megabytes.
200
so, yeah. So if you have like 5, 6, maybe up to 10, apps that are like that, you can free up gigabytes worth of, storage.
Oh my God. That is like genius. Dude, Hipstamatic, 1.4 gigs.
Holy smokes.
Oh my gosh.
Deleted.
That should be illegal.
Instagram, 1.1 gigs.
Yeah.
So all I have to do is delete it and then bring it back in?
Bring it back in. Now, some apps you may be able to look and see, like, they have a cache where you can delete the cache. I wish they all had that on there so that you can just keep the app on there without having to delete it and then bring it back and just dump the, you know, because a lot of that stuff you'll never see again. So, you know, why is it holding on to it?
Right. That is interesting.
Mark, I have more music on my phone than your entire phone can hold.
All right, let me bring him back then. All right.
See, most of the time it's images that I have, and that's easy to take off. Like I've got 2.8 gigabyte in my photo and camera, which is probably the most of it that's filling it up is video. Podcasts, I've got 1.1 gig, and so on. Some of them, like iMovie,
yeah,
it's showing
such a resource hog.
It's half a gig, but the whole app itself is half a gig.
Yeah,
so. You know, you can't help that one.
You know what? That's fascinating because Apple's apps just take up so much room. It's unbelievable what kind of hogs they are. And then they bitch about everybody else.
You think that with that much memory being used, that it would do more?
Like it'd be useful. One novel concept. Yeah. Who knows? But that is brilliant. I'm doing this right now, and hang on, I'm loading Instagram back up, and then I'm going to check that general setting again just to see what difference it made.
Why don't, Matt, you go ahead and do yours, and then we'll say what the difference is.
Well, now I'm busy looking at all this. All this information here.
Dude, that's golden. That's just golden information there, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to. You see, I always have the lowest, you know, sized phone, so I'm constantly having to utilize my space. And so I go through and I'm like, why is this taking up so much? I'm like, no, it's you know, it's 10 times the size of the rig. About delete. Then yeah. I bring it back in, and I have all that space free.
That's pretty solid. Yep. That's awesome.
I agree. Cool. And for some reason, it's taken forever and a day to install.
All right. Well, I'm going to yammer about my focus point.
Yammer away.
All right. So pretty sure everyone knows that I was not on the podcast last week. And that is because I went to Key West for a much-needed vacation.
Very awesome.
That is not the point. So listen up. I was very excited to play with the new lenses that I got for my diff case. I believe I mentioned the iPhone 5 diff case on the podcast 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Yes.
And I talked about how it had an opening over where your iPhone camera lens is that basically accepted these lenses with like a bayonet mount. They kind of just snap into the case.
Yeah.
So they're kind of the same idea as the Olloclip that we've reviewed and talked about on this podcast sometime last year,
mm-hmm.
where you have a fisheye lens and then there's a wide angle lens. And if you take basically you unscrew the outer lens off the wide angle lens and then it becomes a macro lens. So there's basically two lenses, but they make up three different lenses. And so I thought, well, I'm going to give this a go. I think this is going to work out for me because I like having a case on my phone. Mm-hmm. So the Olloclip was just kind of out. I appreciate the Olloclip. It's a really awesome thing, but it just never really was convenient for me because I don't want to have to take my phone in and out of a case to use an accessory lens.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, so when DiffCase came out with this new design, and they've had a iPhone 4, 4S redesign for a little while now, I thought, you know, that's pretty sweet. I think I could get into that. So I finally broke down, got the case for my iPhone 5, and then I bought the lenses. And fortunately, they came like literally the day before I was leaving to go on vacation. And they're great. They're nice little lenses. They come in like a nice little soft pouch. They have lens caps on them. And then there's another, basically it's like a metal, like magnetic cap that goes over the back part of the lens. So the lens is completely protected when you're not using it. So you don't get it all scratched up and whatnot. So when we left for vacation and we got down to Boston to get on the plane to fly down to Miami, I put the wide angle lens on. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to horse around with this and play with it. So took some shots in the airport that I never would have got if I had not had a wide angle lens on the phone. I mean, I was like really close to like a wall and I was able to get more or less a pretty expansive scene in the frame.
Yeah.
And then even shooting out the window. Now I know, don't yell at me. I was supposed to have my phone off, but in airplane mode, and I shot video while we were taking off. And that just looked so cool through the wide angle lens. I was really stoked with it. And then the whole time that we were in Key West, I would say 90% of the photos that I took with my phone, I had that wide angle lens on. In fact, I left it on the case almost the entire time that we were on vacation. And every now and then I'd see like a cool flower or we actually went to a place that had all these butterflies and I was able to get macro pictures of the butterflies, which just knocked my socks off. It was,
yes, dude, those were awesome. Some
amazing shots.
Yeah. I can't believe they didn't fly away. So in any case, I would just tell you, right now, if this is something that anyone's interested in, definitely use a tripod for macro shots, because the depth of field is so minimal that it's nearly impossible to handhold and get the shot in focus, because just those little minute movements of your hand shaking make the focus go in and out so quickly. And it took me a lot of tries to get those butterfly pictures, and can't believe they didn't fly away. I'm still blown away by that. The only lens that I have not tried is the fisheye. And the reason for that is because the image, it's an image circle, and it does not cover the entire sensor. So you're going to have basically a circular picture. And I don't really like that look, and I don't want to crop into it. So
I hear you. I've had that problem too. I'm surprised they didn't make a fisheye that just kind of goes further out so that it would cover that up. But
yeah, but just my experience with them for all of last week is I've been really happy with the image quality. The pictures have been really sharp, so I've been pretty pleased with them. And they're like I said, they're really nice lenses. They seem really secure when they're on the way they attach to the case. It's very a satisfying twist and a slight click, and you know that it's on there and it's not going to fall off. So that's pretty cool. And I don't know, they're just really great. I would say the only thing is that, I tried to keep the lens cap on because I was always putting the phone like just in my pocket.
Right.
The lens gets scratched, and it took me one full week, but I did lose the lens cap.
Oh no.
That happens. Hey, Justin, you guys want to hear the total?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, I know. So it went from, what did I say, like 1.5 gigs or something like that?
Yeah.
To 24.7 megabytes.
Nice.
Smokes. And mine, that was
to 29 megabytes.
That was Hipstamatic?
Hipstamatic I did not load because I haven't used that app, and I've already expressed my...
That was Instagram.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, Instagram. Yeah, I'm not going to put Hipstamatic back until they...
apologize.
No, you know what? I've never mentioned this on the show, but I have kind of a... I had a beef with Instagram, and not Instagram, Hipstamatic, and not like they listen to the show. They don't give a F. it's very petty on my part. I'll admit that. I'm being a whiny little crybaby, but I'll just leave it at that. That's all. Totally on me, but I'm not loading
Hipstamatic
anymore.
Anyway.
It's done.
Regardless of what, it's impressive. So I'm going to have to, not that I really need to save any room on my phone at this point, because I have a 64 gigabyte phone, but I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
But dude, that is perfect. That is awesome news. And I better do the same on my wife's phone, because I know she has a little trouble with that stuff.
Ooh, that's a good point. I should do that for my wife as well.
Would you say it was 24 and a half megabytes?
It's down to 24 megabytes, down from 1.5. Can imagine what my wife's is doing.
Yeah, I need to look at my wife's phone too.
Yeah.
So we all just said we neglect our wives.
we neglect our wives' phones.
Oh.
So there you go. All right, so I think we could close it up. Joe, where can they find you on the webs?
You can find me at Instagram at Joseph Ferrer.
Cool. How about you, Matt?
I am most likely to be found on Instagram and Twitter at M Hoffman Photo.
And you can find me, Mark Sadowski, on Twitter. You can find me at Mostly Marcus. You can also find me on Vine. Just do a search for LensWipe. And with that, I'd also like to invite people to listen to the LensWipe. That is, if you don't mind swearing and a lot of tangents from photography, but we've just celebrated our 5 years on the air. It's been a lot of fun, and we're constantly making changes to the Lens Wipe. Just kind of, it's one of those shows that is we're still trying to get that perfect fit. Like it's been evolving, and basically our big thing with that show is that we don't want it to be another boring photography show. That's the sailor talk, I guess. But yeah, we've had 5 years there. Give it a listen. And again, it's marked explicit for a reason, people. So I'll just leave it at that. So that is all. If you would like to contact the show, you can always reach us at tinyshutter.com. From there, you could find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our all other social networks there. And you can always write to us from the contact page. And I think that's it. So, yeah, cool. Good show, guys. And we will see everybody next week with hopefully news that they caught the SOB who kind of effed up my city.
That's right.
There you go.
All right.
Very cool. And if I could only find my closing music. Stall. All right, here we go. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week. Suck it, Android.